And welcome to Fireside Chats with Tax Goddess Live and the redheaded tax goddess herself, Shauna. I'm so happy to be here today with our special guest. We are here to educate, entertain, and inspire business owners, the entrepreneurs, and all those crazy, fantastic self-employed people out there. Today is Tuesday, October 30th, and me, your tax goddess, Shauna, and we are here with Jonathan Morrison. Jonathan, are you ready to do this?
Yes, I'm ready.
Yay! Well, we are ready to have you. Jonathan is an expert in tax and estate planning for wealthy families and business owners. So as you guys can tell, today's podcast is going to be amazing. I can't wait. So Jonathan, what is the one most important thing that our audience is going to get out of today's podcast?
Yeah, well, I spent 10 years in Silicon Valley doing high-end tax planning. I've literally seen it all. And this is probably the most compelling tax strategy that I've seen because it's literally the only tax strategy that I'm aware of, completely IRS approved, that gives you a tax deduction this year for literally doing nothing. This year, at least.
Nothing. For doing nothing. That's crazy.
You literally funding an account, you get a tax deduction for funding an account. You don't part from any money. You invest the money. You do nothing this year.
I'm in love. I can't wait to get into the details, Jonathan. You're making me blush. It's all super sexy. I love it.
Well, more complicated than that, but yes, this year, nothing. You get a tax deduction.
Okay. Dig it. Okay, so what is the name? What is this thing called?
Yeah, so I call it the legacy account because the technical name is a zeroed out grantor style charitable lead annuity trust.
Which is way too many words. Yeah.
Run the other way. So I call it a legacy account because, you know, this strategy, this trust has been around for 50 years in the tax code, but nobody uses it. Nobody's an expert on it because it sounds so scary. And we figured out a way to basically make it palatable and easy for clients to understand and focusing on the benefits. And we've had a lot of success. We did a dozen of these alone in December of last year. And we've got about 20 already coming up. And it's just September.
When I was going to say, nobody's an expert except for Mr. Jonathan Morrison. This is why we have you on the Fireside Chats with Tax Goddess. So we're super, super happy for you to be here. Yep. Okay, so give us some statistics, some topic items. What is going to blow our listeners' minds?
So, yeah, like I said, this is the only tax deduction strategy that you literally don't do anything. You fund this account, you get a deduction. Most attorneys and CPAs just don't know about this vehicle, the underlying vehicle, because I think it's because this vehicle didn't really make sense to fund until interest rates got really low. For a number of technical reasons, but so even though it's been in the tax code since 1969, nobody's really paid much attention to it. And now that interest rates are low, people still aren't paying attention to it. In fact, the IRS estimates that all the charitable trust returns that are filed, only 1 out of 20 are for this vehicle, and 19 out of 20 are for a different kind of charitable trust. A charitable remainder trust that everybody kind of knows about.
Well, those 19 just don't know what they're doing. That's a whole other issue. We'll clean up those 19. That works. We can get to that. Oh, I love it. Okay.
Yeah. And so this, the final thing I'll tell you, most of our clients, virtually all of them, are giving to charity or plan to give to charity at some point in the future. And this strategy not only increases wealth by giving them a tax deduction, but it literally can be used to give to charity at zero cost. Literally, the average is about a 15-year period, but you can give get the tax deduction, for example, for $50,000, give charity $50,000, and get the $50,000 back in year 15 without it coming out of the charity's pocket.
You see, ladies and gentlemen, this is why you need an expert, because if you're listening to this podcast, right, you're listening going, okay, wait, so I get a tax deduction, which means I get free money, and I get to keep my $50,000, and this is legal and all above board? But as you guys well know, we would never bring an expert on unless this was a real thing. So this is why I'm so excited. This is amazing. I'm so excited. Okay. But before we start drilling into all of these awesome details of that big, 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 long name that we're calling the legacy account, because it's so much easier, tell us about you, Jonathan. Where did you come from? How did you end up in Arizona?
Yeah, I grew up here actually. I have a great big family here. I grew up in the same house all 18 years of my growing up life. And I went to University of Arizona, studied accounting and finance. Went to then I was tired of the desert. I was 22. I wanted to stay on the West Coast and go to a big city, to a law school that had strong tax programs. So I went to UC Hastings in San Francisco, lived in the heart of the city for 11 years, all through my 20s. Met my wife out there, was part of an awesome church out there. And meanwhile, I was working with in Silicon Valley 10 years with the two largest trust and estate law firms in the area. So we represented virtually every tech company, Google, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Tesla, and a lot of their founders, executives, venture capitalists, angel investors. So I was really working as a technician at those firms for 10 years, doing advanced trust and estate planning for clients with 9 to 11 figure net worths. And so I got to see it all. And again, this is the most compelling strategy that I have ever seen.
And guys, we're talking about massive brain on Jonathan here. So you guys need to be listening to the details here. I love it. I love it. Okay. What is the most dangerous thing you've ever done, Jonathan?
Dangerous thing. Well, I love cars. I love
Ooh.
sports cars, and
Sports cars. Okay.
when I got out of law school, I got my dream car, which was a 2001 BMW M5 with about 400 horsepower, which is a lot of power for 25 years. And well, we one night took it on the Bay Bridge, and we went pretty quick. We might have been closer to 200 than 100 at one point. Yeah. Hopefully there's a statute of limitations.
Yes, no, nobody could be listening to this and find that out. Oh no. Oh, well, we are very glad that you are still here. That is awesome. Okay. Let's see. What is the most unusual habit that you have that you absolutely love?
Ah, an unusual habit. Well, my secret hobby is when no one's around, I like to play video games. That's how I get
Which games?
stress. Yeah, so I like obviously the car games or the shooter games or even just the 2D old school Super Nintendo type games.
Dig
So
it. Well,
my wife puts up with it.
well, that's a good thing. I just saw that Nintendo came out with a new, they came out with their new old version of their console or whatever, or do you still have the original like old console?
Yeah, it's a miniature version of the old console. And in fact, here in my office, turn the screen. See that big TV right there?
Yeah.
This is our conference room. I actually have considered buying one of those and hooking it up. So take little breaks for everybody in the office.
And now I'm totally picturing your entire office in full on like game mode. Like, you know, that's.
Hey, that's the Silicon Valley roots. Even though I'm a senior partner at a major law firm, we still play video games in the office.
Love it. Love it. Love it. That is brilliant. That is so cool. All right. Thank you for giving us an idea a little bit about you. So for all of our game player, race car drivers, super speedy peeps out there, obviously you are already way fascinated by Mr. Jonathan. So how did you get into this particular industry?
You know what? It's funny. I kind of fell into it because of my accounting and finance background and tax, obviously. I come from a family of lawyers, and so I figured, hey, with my accounting and finance background, and I come from a family of lawyers, I'd probably be a good tax planning attorney. So lo and behold, I fell into the right place at the right time, working with top firms in Silicon Valley. But it's neat is that. The best kept, it's, I call it the best kept secret of the law, this area, estate planning. It sounds terribly boring, death and taxes, but actually, if you think about it, we're the only attorneys that aren't fighting with anybody, right? We're not litigators, and we don't have any deadlines.
Oh.
Who's itching to get their will done, right?
Well, they should be. Everybody should be, but that's a whole other issue.
Usually we're trying to pull them back. So I literally can make my schedule. I have a wonderful family. I have plenty of family time. I can make my own schedule, unlike a lot of attorneys. And I love what I do. I'm helping families transfer wealth, figure out business succession, give to charity in unique ways such as this. So I absolutely love it. I wouldn't want to be a lawyer if I wasn't doing this type of work.
Love it. Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, and let's see. So you talked about your typical day, playing games, doing some work. It sounds pretty good. Any pitfalls? What is the one thing that you don't like about what you do?
Honestly, I can't think of a single thing. I've got great
That's so
clients,
cool.
a lot of wealthy clients, so they pay the bills. People are excited to see me, and it's not like they're going to see a criminal lawyer or something. Make my own schedule. I've got it pretty good. So I honestly
Love it.
love what I do.
Love it. Okay. Let's see. The one business habit that you believe that all successful entrepreneurs must have to succeed.
Gosh, you know what? Probably the biggest thing that I don't see in a lot of lawyers is organization. Being extremely organized. I'm usually at inbox zero by the end of the day. If you come into my office, I hardly have any files laying around or papers. But everything's completely organized. And then being responsive. We get back to emails, calls the same day for sure. And then just not talking over clients' heads. Simplifying things like what I've done here with a very complex charitable trust and making it understandable. Clients appreciate that. And then I'd say just getting ahead of fees and costs from the outset and being honest and straightforward right up front about how much something's going to cost. All those things contribute to, I think, a happy, at least in the area of law, a happy practice.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay, and what if we apply that same thing to life in general? What is the one like personal world habit lifestyle thing that you believe people need?
Yeah, well, I can tell you for myself, just my wife and I have made just really good decisions over the last 10 years, really coming together, thinking about decisions, whether it's a move from San Francisco back to Phoenix or a move from one law firm to another, whether to have the next kid or we're considering maybe even adoption. We really give a lot of thought for all important things in life. And she's very organized as well. So we've had a lot. We've just been really fortunate over the last 10 years since meeting each other. And I think it's because we just really put our heads together and think well and ask wise counsel for advice on decisions.
That's awesome. So ask questions and think it through. I love it.
Yeah, exactly.
Very cool. Okay, well, awesome. All right. So I'm so enamored with you. You're smart and organized, and you have this fantastic tax strategy with which, for all of our listeners out there, know that's what makes a goddess blush, right? Is this tax strategy. It's all about the tax strategy. So tell us, give us kind of a little, like, what is the basic? Give me the 2 minute overview of what this thing is.
Sure. Yeah, this is interesting. So about 18 months ago, I was involved in my first kind of big case. It was a case with one of these types of charitable trusts that nobody really touches on or really knows much about. And I started running the numbers and realized, oh my gosh, this is huge. And then I went back and started reading every major journal and article over the last 30 years. I read every IRS ruling on the trust. And most of the attorneys around the nation just haven't really picked up on the income tax benefit of this type of trust. And so I went out there and I did a lot of presentations and talked to a lot of people and tried to explain the benefits of it. And it just was a little too complicated for people. And so finally, a couple months ago, I realized, wow, it kind of came to me how to simply put this thing. We don't use the complicated charitable trust name anymore. We just call it a legacy account. And it's really this. Imagine there's an additional investment account that you could open up with your money manager, whether they're at Merrill Lynch or UBS or Bank of America. You have your investment funds, right? Imagine there's just an extra investment account, a new account you could set up before the end of the year. And you could move cash or stocks and bonds worth, say, $100,000 into this new account. Okay, it just goes from one account to another. You remain in full control of the new account. You can continue to invest it. You don't give anything away out of that account.
So it's almost
But
like a savings account. Like you're just putting money in it like a savings account.
totally, yeah, it's just another account, another
Cool.
investment account. But this special account, which we call the legacy account, has some really cool benefits. The first one being whatever money you move into this legacy account, you get a deduction for. Full deduction this year and you haven't given anything away. You just
charity deduction.
It's a charitable income tax deduction.
Okay, so Schedule A, for the listeners out there, that's Schedule A itemized charity cash deduction.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. It's 30% is the max you can, of your 30% of your annual income is the max you can fund it. Okay.
Okay. So what happens if somebody overfunds it?
You get to use the unused deduction over the next 5 years. So it goes in the next year.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but it's really just so it's just an extra account you move money into, you get a deduction. A couple other cool benefits. The money that's moved into the legacy account, immediately protected from creditors, lawsuits, bankruptcy, and even divorce if you're single when you fund it. Yeah.
Really? Now, that's actually potentially a big thing, because I see that fairly frequently where somebody is about to get a divorce or in the middle of a divorce or whatever. Is it once the divorce is final, now it's separate property, or once you've actually started the divorce process? Like, when does it become separate property?
Yeah. So this account, to get the divorce protection, has to be single. You have to be single when you fund it, right? So
and then
later, it's completely off your balance sheet if you were to get divorced.
Very cool.
Yeah. And so obviously, if you have, you're in the middle of a lawsuit or something like that, you can't fund the account. But it's really protection against any future bad things in life that might happen, right?
Very cool.
So you got a deduction by moving the money into it. You protected the money. And then if you have a really large estate, right now there's a death tax exemption of about $11 million for a single person.
Yeah.
$22 million for a married couple. But if you're fortunate to have that kind of wealth, the third benefit of moving money into this account is that all of the assets inside the account, no matter what you grow it to, are never subject to death taxes when you die. So that's 40% death tax savings. Yeah.
Never, never, ever, ever, like zero.
Well, at least when they die.
Well.
The next generation, maybe. But yeah, so you get the income tax deduction, and then you also immediately have moved that money off of your estate. So if you die, there's no 40% death tax.
So guys, this is one of those rare loopholes where effectively we're double dipping. That's lovely and amazing, and yay, double dipping.
Yeah. There's nothing like it that gets you an income tax deduction and avoids death taxes. So it's really cool. Now, you say, oh my gosh, this sounds great. Why don't I do this? Well, you should, but you have to have there's a couple of considerations.
Okay.
The first biggest one is that when you move money into the special legacy account, you have to pick what I call a lockup period, okay?
Okay.
A lockup period, a number of years where you can't take money out of it, okay? And it could be 10, 20, 30 years, and we'll get to why you might pick a longer lockup period. But whatever you choose as the lockup period, you can't borrow from the account. You can't take draws out of the account. At the end of the lockup period, you can get it all back or give it to your family free of gift and estate tax.
And so what happens if you do take the money out? Because you know that's going to happen. Somebody's going to mess something up and transfer something to the wrong account, and something's going to happen. So what happens if you do?
Very, very bad things.
Ooh.
So, yeah, tax.
So
penalty,
no.
Right?
Well, are we talking like the 10% penalty, like an IRA penalty, or like 100% penalty? What are we talking?
Frankly, there's actually potentially criminal penalties because this is charity's money for that term.
Okie dokie. So in other words, guys, no.
Yeah.
No, this is not your IRA. You don't just pay a cute little 10% penalty. You're going to jail. Guys, you know how I feel about this, right? You got a scale of aggression from 0 to 10, and I'm always at an 8. I'm not going to jail for you. I'm not a 10, so don't be pulling your money out. That's a 10. Bad people. No 10s.
More likely what would happen is it would take a lot of these tax deduction benefits away, and you'd have to have a huge tax bill.
Okay.
Probably unlikely that you're going to get criminal, but the IRS is going to take away all these nice deductions and things that you got. So what we do is we usually educate. We have a huge process that we go through when we have a client that wants to set one of these up. And part of that is educating their accountant and their money manager on how to invest the funds, what can and cannot be done. So there's an education process. And then we check in usually every year to see how things are going, making sure that it's being operated correctly. But let's talk more about this legacy account. I'm sorry, this lockup period.
Okay.
So during the lockup period, let's say most of our younger clients are going to pick a 20 to 30 year lockup period. So let's say 20 years.
Okay.
During that 20 years, you put the 100, let's say you put $100,000 into it. You can grow that $100,000 during the 20-year period. But during that 20-year lockup period, the reason you got the deduction now for $100,000 is that during the 20-year period, you have to make total payments to charity, any charity you want, church, any nonprofit, virtually any nonprofit, 501c.
Okay.
You have to make payments to charity totaling the amount you put in, $100,000,
okay,
plus a little bit more. Okay, plus a little bit more. The reason is charity didn't get it now, so the tax code says, well, you got to give a little bit more to charity because they have to wait for the money. Right? Now, the key is, I said a little bit more. Right now, because this gets technical, but because interest rates are low when you fund it, however low the interest rate is, that minimizes the extra amount you have to give to charity during that lockup period.
So it's really kind of an amortization based on the interest rate, whatever the interest rate is, right? And this is why they weren't being used in the 80s, because the interest rates were 25%.
Yep, and you would have had to give way too much out of the account during the lockup period. There wouldn't have been anything left at the end. But what's nice is right now is the interest rate in effect is just over 3%. And what that means is charity, essentially what's going on is you're promising charity an annuity that's paying the charity about 3%. So tell me, Shauna, would you pay me $100,000 to take back an annuity that only pays you 3% over the next 20 or 30 years? Probably not.
I like my money. I can earn more than 3%, so no.
But the tax code says that we can take a $100,000 tax deduction if we promise charity an annuity paying only 3%. The kicker is you can extend that as far as you want. The IRS has actually approved a 118-year annuity.
118-year annuity.
You got it. And so the lockup period can be as long or short as you want. But usually, the longer the better, because it allows you to defer and even backload those annuity payments to later in life. So now I've got my full $100,000. I can grow and build and invest and compound way out, maybe 20 years before those charitable payments get large, and I've essentially financed those charitable gifts, leaving myself at the end of the lockup period a huge, significant amount for retirement.
Yeah.
Onto my children, free of gift and estate taxes.
My mind has so many questions flowing through it. Okay. Wait. So I put in $100,000. Obviously, I got to pay a little bit more. We got to pay with the interest. Totally got it. But it can go 118 years. So I got lots of time to build up my investment account, my legacy account, right? Build that up with my advisor, whoever. Now, does it matter, like any advisor? Like I get to choose who my advisors are, right? It's not a restricted advisory. Okay.
Full control, just like any investment account. It's just like an investment account. You just can't touch it until the end of the lockup period.
And are there any restrictions on the types of things I can invest in?
Virtually anything that you can invest with your money manager, you can invest in. There's some exceptions. For example, you obviously can't go and buy a house for yourself. Just like a 401k, no personal use.
No self-dealing. Okay. But if I wanted to get into real estate, so does it work like a self-directed IRA from that standpoint? So I could flip homes, build all these assets. I could do cryptocurrency trading. I can do any of that kind of stuff inside this account, grow all this wealth, and get the – I'm so happy right now. This is amazing. Okay. So
basically what we have are the clients are looking at this as maybe a 30-year lockup, and they're looking at it as a long-term play. So they're using this really as their growth bucket. They're putting maybe private equity or hedge or – things that are going to get them maybe 8, 10% over a long term. And meanwhile, the charitable annuity, they're only accruing about 3% interest essentially on the note to charity.
So we're getting a 5% spread to my heirs with no tax. Everybody's happy.
And a lot of our clients, they're doing this, they're charitable, and they say the worst case scenario, Jonathan, is you're telling me maybe the account runs out of money and everything goes to charity and I get nothing back. And I say, yes. And they say, well, that's great. I was going to be charitable anyway. So it's just a kicker if I'm able to get something at the end.
Yeah, it's gravy.
Pretty neat. Yeah.
Love it. Okay, so the thought that's going through my mind, so this is a perfect play for, I've got something going on big this year, right? Unless I'm just normally charitable, right? And you said, what is the smallest, I'm sorry, my brain just came up with like 8 questions. Okay, so let's take this one at a time. So first things first, it's good in a year where you have something specific, right? You've sold a business, you've sold property, you've sold whatever, you've got a massive tax bill. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Okay, so that's good. That's a one-year thing. Do you need different legacy accounts if you want to do this year after year after year after year?
Yeah, so we have clients that do that every year and just put 30% of their income in there.
Okay.
A lot of professionals. In fact, I'm doing one for myself this year. And so, yeah, it's great. I mean, I look at this. I'm 36. I look at this as a retirement strategy. I'm going to put up to 30% of my ordinary income in. You know, get a tax deduction that gives me, you know, in Arizona about a 45% tax benefit.
Yep.
On ordinary rates. I'm going to remain in control of the funds, just like a retirement account. I'm going to give to my church and nonprofits over the next 30 years. And, you know, we have a highly customized calculator that I show with clients when we go through the process. But, you know, if you return 7% per year over the 30-year period, you can get back usually as much as 3 or 4 times as much as you put in there in your 30, and you've made significant gifts to charity. It's awesome.
It's a win-win for everybody, except the government, which I like. So I'm happy about that. So
it's okay with it because they have set this up in the tax code since 1969. Remember, charity, you don't get anything back until charity gets the first whatever amount out of the account that our schedule of payment shows. So, and the government, based on their IRS tables and the interest rate in effect, they're predicting there's not going to be anything left because they don't think you're going to be able to get more than 3% on your money, even over a 30-year period. And so the rest of it's just gravy above that. A lot of our clients are saying, no, I'm sure that I can get 7, 8, 10%. And so I'm going to put my money in there. And if I don't, fine. Charity gets the first.
They get what they're going to get. Yeah.
Back to your question, though. Yes, you do have to set up a new account every year. If you do want to fund it, you cannot make additional contributions. And of course, every year the interest rate might change. So on that new account, you know, you might be 4%.
4 or 5, whatever.
Of an annuity to charity. But at least for the next few years, as long as interest rates continue to stay in the 3-4% area, it's a really good strategy, particularly for people that were going to give to charity anyways. They always win with this, you know, just extra that they might get out of it, right?
So is there a minimum, you know, like, so let's say, for example, my taxable income is $500,000, so 30%, I could put up to $150,000, right? But let's say I only want to put $25,000 or $50,000. Is there a certain dollar amount where it's just not worth it? Because I'm sure there's fees to set up the legacy account, that kind of thing. Is there kind of like a break-even point?
Yeah, so our legal fees are the most significant setup cost. Going forward annually, there is an additional tax return you have to file for the account. And it's not a huge fee. It usually comes out somewhere between $800 to maybe $1,500 a year. So, you know, in our fee generally, you know, I won't quote it on the air, but
of course,
we have a standard fee that we charge for smaller versions. Sometimes we'll discount the fee because, listen, when I developed this, it wasn't really to make a lot of money off of it. It was more I saw an awesome opportunity to unlock a lot of charitable giving.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, our fee we've developed, you know, based on the fact that I've put probably over 200 hours of research and development into reading every ruling that's out there, reading all the articles, developing an amazing, flexible account creation form and our calculator and everything. And that's about over $100,000 of my time. There's also we also looked at other tax deduction strategies that are out there. Whereas this is IRS approved, those are both on the IRS bad list. I won't name any names, but there's two that are out there, and they're both, the fees are in excess of $100,000. So our fee is a huge fraction of that amount. But again, depending on if it's a very small one or a very large one, it can vary. But generally speaking, we have a standard fee that we charge. But going forward, the annual fee is pretty low. It's just the tax return filing.
And there you go. And so I think maybe let me try asking the question a different way. If I'm somebody who normally every year tithes $10,000 to my church, is this a good option for me? Yes. Okay. If I'm somebody that tithes $5,000 to my church, is this a good option?
It's probably getting a little bit smaller. We like to see the account being funded with at least, I'd say, $150,000, maybe $100,000 minimum, if we were our legal fee. But most of the time, we're seeing these funded with $200,000, $500,000, based on annual income high earners. And then obviously we have large business sales where we've set up, you know, tens of millions of dollars. It works very well for business sales. Exercising stock options, which is gives ordinary income, and then just your annual give. We have a lot of surgeons that like the fact they're making a lot of money, but they get the creditor protection, tax deduction. Younger surgeons, attorneys with big bonuses, CPAs, athletes works really well for athletes. They're young, they can do a long lockup period. They need a deduction. They want to fund their private foundation, so those work really well too.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. So, you know, you talked about how many hours of reading and the court cases and all these different areas. You know, normally I like to ask where can people find, you know, read about some of this information, but telling people to read the IRS code and tax law court cases is not a good option. Right. So where do people find out more about this and the program, the legacy account? Where do people find out more about this?
Yeah, so you're right. I mean, if you try to Google the charitable trust, you'll get a lot of highly technical articles and things. And frankly, I don't think many attorneys have caught on to the concept and the benefits, let alone simplified it in the way that my team and I have done. So we actually have materials. I have a one-page overview that makes it very simple, one-page illustration comparing if you did it or not, showing that essentially you're moving money from taxes today into the pockets of charities tomorrow, which is really neat. And then we have a 3 or 4 page sort of process that outlines how we go through it. And then, of course, we have our highly customized calculator. I'm a spreadsheet geek.
Woohoo!
Can quickly run the numbers based on any situation. I can run numbers within 2 minutes. I can show clients exactly if you did this lockup versus this lockup based on your effective tax rate, how much you put in. Here's exactly to the dollar how much you'll give charity, how much you'll have for yourself. So, yeah, I think on this topic, our materials are probably the simplest that you'll ever find out there, at least, and I've read everything.
And there we go. Well, it certainly sounds like it. 200 hours sounds crazy, crazy, crazy. So, okay, what are some of the questions that you get from clients?
Yeah, you've asked a lot of the good ones. You know, how long? What can I do, or what can I do during the lockup period? What can I invest in? How much does this cost? One thing, obviously, a couple of questions that didn't come up. Can you terminate the account early? Can you, 15 months into a 30-year lockup, I want to get the money back. I need it. The answer is yes, although all of the remaining charitable payments have to be made. So charity gets paid first, right? So we have the schedule of payments that have to be made out of the account. They're typically very small to charity in the beginning years, larger in the later years. But the account can be closed and accessed, and the lockup period terminated as long as charity receives every dollar it was due. Then you can terminate it. Another question that comes up sometimes is we talked about termination. I'm blanking now. Does the trust pay taxes? What about taxes? So. Again, it works just like any other taxable investment account that you have. You know, if there's interest and dividend income, it shows up on your 1040. If this legacy account has interest and dividend income, it shows up on your 1040. So you still have to pay the taxes every year associated with the account.
On the growth, basically, you're saying there's been growth, and so now we're paying taxes on the growth.
Anything you sell, it literally is taxed to you just like any old investment account.
Okay.
Capital gains, interest, dividends. But remember, you got the income tax deduction going in, and actually when the money comes out at the end of the lockup period, unlike a 401k, there's no income tax. It comes out almost like a Roth.
Yeah.
It's not it just comes out and you transfer it back into your taxable account. Another question, well, let's say I decide that 20, I do a 30-year lockup and I've elected to receive it back at the end of the 30 years. Let's say 20 years into it, I hit the lottery and now I don't need the money and I don't want to take back the money because it might increase my death tax bill when I
Right.
Can I then change it? Can I give it to my children? Can I make a change? And again, the answer is yes. We have a very highly customized, highly flexible trust document that allows for changes in families and tax and economic circumstances to be addressed. So, we have the role of what's called a trust protector. It's usually a friend or a trusted confidant that can make certain changes during the 30-year, 20-year lockup period to address changes that might happen, giving, one kid falls out of favor, that trust protector can give it to the other kid or even give it to charity. Some of our clients, don't want to spoil their kids. They might want to give whatever's left to charity at the end.
And there you go. They change their mind. Okay.
30 during the time. Yeah, we have a lot of flexibility.
Very cool. And flexibility is one of those things where sometimes people don't realize how important it is to have the flexibility. A lot of the times clients will come in the door and they're like, I need a tax deduction right now. And we got to do this thing right now.
Yeah.
Breathe. We will get it done. How long does it take to set up one of these accounts and all the documents?
Great question. So our process, which we share with people, is pretty extensive. But when you get to the year end, there is a December 31st funding deadline.
Is that midnight? Is that 11:59:59?
I can tell you at the end of last year, we did three in the last week of December alone. We can get them done within 72 hours if need be. Obviously, okay. We like the clients to come to us in October, November.
I was going to say, is there a premium on that? Like, do they need to be bringing you bottles of champagne for New Year's Eve so you're doing the thing?
I might consider that. Well, in December. So, yeah, come call me up and now versus later. But I put so much time in research and development into this. We've got it pretty streamlined at this point, which is really neat. When we were pricing it, we even thought another consideration was if another top law firm got their hands on the materials that I share with people, and they tried to reverse engineer it, how long would it take them to figure it out and do all the research?
Yeah.
We determined that's our fee is probably still lower than even if another law firm, because nobody knows
figure that out.
Nobody understands them. They're so complex, and we've figured them out.
And you're just so happy and so innocent. Yeah, I got it. It's good. We love it. We love it. Awesome. Well, okay. So definitely one of the things, if you guys didn't catch that, and I know that, you've got two experts here on the podcast today, trusts can be crazy. So for me, hearing that your setup can take, obviously we don't want to push it to the very, if you guys call him December 29th, he's going to charge you a PETA fee, a pain in the ass fee, just saying, because I said he could on air, and there we go. And you better bring him champagne. But anyway, so, one of the 72 hours is crazy short, because, people are used to setting up, revocable trusts. Those things can take months to get the documents and all the paperwork and all the rest of it. So 72 hours, guys, you are talking, listening to an expert who's got his systems. He's not kidding. 72 hours, I'm floored. I've never heard of it that short, ever.
Thank you. So, yeah, and you usually when you hear 72 hours, you're going to get a document. You get what you pay for. And something.
Yeah, here's your one page, sign it. Yeah.
We've already put, at least 50 to 70 hours into developing the trust document and the account document and all the other things that come with it. So it literally is, I truly believe the best form that's out there, the most flexible form that's out there. And even though we can crank it out pretty quick, we put all that effort into it beforehand. So
and there you go. And that, to me, this all goes back to being prepared and thinking it all through every single step that you said earlier. So clearly your personality has been imbued into this document. I love it. Absolutely love it. All right. Well, so what else? What else do the listeners out there need to know about this? What is your final piece of knowledge, advice that you just got to get out there?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you a couple of things. You know, this is literally, I've seen it all. This is really the most efficient way to give to charity. If you're giving to charity, if you want to give to charity later in life, there's literally no better way to do it. I've seen all the charitable strategies out there. It's really a neat, I can't believe it even exists, because this is a way to give to charity at zero economic cost, or potentially make money by giving to charity, assuming you can get the 7, 8, 9% returns, right?
Right.
But even, you know, because interest rates are low, even if you're only going to get a 3, 4, 5%, if you're charitable, as most of our clients are, they're already going to give. This is a way to give at zero economic cost, because, you know, we projected again on a 15-year basis what you put into the account. If you get 7% return, you get your money back in year 15. Obviously, if you did a longer lockup, you get back more than what you put in. But, you know, I this is not going to be available forever. The interest rates are going to go up
right,
at some point. So, you know, this is one of those things that at least this year, hopefully next and the year after, literally a once in a lifetime opportunity to give to charity and make money, which is neat.
Which is fantastic. You know, for those of our listeners that are here in Arizona, there was a loophole where you could give to the Arizona credits and you would also get this federal tax deduction, and they closed that. Basically, I think it was like August 27th, the feds came in and just made a proposal saying, nope, we're done. We're not giving you any more free money. And all of the Arizonans went, no. But now, guys, guess what? We have a new strategy. Well, not new. We have a strategy that's been around for, what'd you say, 60 years?
1969.
50 years.
Yeah. You know, there's other things out there, like, you know, there's some aggressive strategies out there that get tax deductions to people, but the IRS has already put it on their blacklist.
The watch list.
Hurting them. And so, you know, this one is a quiet charitable trust that's been sitting out there, all IRS approved, and it just works. There's nothing aggressive about it. It's just, it's pretty neat.
Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. So now that our Fireside Chat listeners have heard all about the details, how do they find you?
Well, thank you. So I'm a senior partner at Frazier Ryan Goldberg and Arnold. I think we're the largest trust, tax, and estate focused law firm in Arizona. We have 23 attorneys. We have about 8 estate planning attorneys. I focus mainly on planning for large and complex estates and doing advanced planning. We have, I think, 4 or 5 dedicated tax litigators. These are former IRS trial attorneys that defend against IRS audits, which is nice to have when you're doing advanced planning like this. We've got 4 attorneys that are dedicated trust and estate litigators. They handle family fights. That's all they do, which is unfortunate, but it's nice to have that down the hall. And then finally, I think we have 4 or 5 attorneys plus a full-time registered nurse on staff that acts as a care coordinator. They know all the hospitals in town. They do elder law, special needs, mental health care law. So literally the firm is very unique, and we surround our arms around the family, and there's just really nothing like it. Even in California, we didn't have anything like this. So
that's because Arizona's better.
The firm is called Frazier Ryan Goldberg and Arnold. My name is Jonathan Morrison, and you know, we try to be as responsive as possible. We are able to get you in the next day if you need. Always available to take a call.
What number? What do they call you at? What's your number?
Oh, 602-277-2010. My email is jmorrison, JMorrison, at frgalaw.com. Frazier Ryan Goldberg and Arnold Law, LAW.com.
Perfect. And of course, listeners, as you guys know, we'll have all of this information and links and contacts and LinkedIn profile and all this good stuff down in the show notes. So definitely make sure you check that out. So You know, listeners, if you enjoyed today's chat as much as I did with Jonathan, make sure you're showing your appreciation. Share today's show with somebody that you know that likes to be charitable or that won the lottery. Either way, share the show. You know, we want to make sure that we're spreading the education, the entertainment, and the inspiration across the world, across the U.S., across the globe. So please, please share. And Jonathan, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you with us today. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
So Fireside Chats with Tax Goddess Live, we are going to be again live next month. So don't fret. You can always find us at taxgoddesslive.com, as well as all of the podcast sites like iTunes, Podstitchers, Google Play. And while you're there, if you would take a minute to rate us, love us, share us. We would love to bring, again, all this fantastic knowledge to all of the fabulous people out there. And let us know what you think about the show. If you have any questions, Jonathan is easily available, and so are we here at Tax Goddess Live. So you can always find me, your Tax Goddess, on Twitter, at Tax Goddess. Or, of course, you can reach out to our producers at taxgoddesslive@taxgoddess.com. So thanks so much. Thanks again for being here, Jonathan.
Thank you.